So Halimut Chofetz Chaim every day is Lischus Refuah of Yosef Dov Ben Chayla Hishtav Refuah Shlema B'Sech Shachayli Yisrael V'Koroiv. So we started learning yesterday about Lashon Hara, speaking Lashon Hara to one's wife, and we said that although one has no secrets from the wife, nevertheless Lashon Hara is as forbidden to a wife as to anybody else. And therefore, as I said, if somebody wants to tell me something in confidence and says don't reveal it to anybody, then you can't reveal it to your wife either, unless I would normally say to him, you know, if I can't tell my wife, then don't tell me.
Don't tell me.
Don't tell me. Finished. But otherwise, a sod is a sod, a secret is a secret, and as far as Lashon Hara and keeping a sod or a chilas, all these halachas, your wife and you are two separate people. The Chofetz Chaim then goes on to say that it's actually not a good idea in practical terms. Not good for you and not good for your wife. He says, one thing he says is, person sits down at a breakfast table, supper, and his wife says, "Nu, what's news in town? Or what happened in shul? You know, any news in shul?" And that sort of thing. That's a normal conversation between a husband and a wife. Now, if he tells her that somebody has wronged him, he tells her that Ploini, the Gabba did, you know, insulted me, or something like that, whatever it is, if he tells his wife that he's been wronged, then she will bear animosity, because she will be on the husband's side. She's not going to investigate. She's going to assume that what her husband told her is correct, and therefore she's going to bear animosity to the person who insulted the husband, or the person who caused some sort of a harm to the husband. And therefore, when she meets the other person's wife, she's going to say, "You know what your husband did to my husband in shul the other day, etc., etc." And it can result in a big machlokes. So he says, in that way, he says, that's one way in which it's not a good idea. The other way in which he says it's not a good idea is as follows: that if a wife sees that her husband's coming back, you know, day after day or week after week, and every time he's got some complaint about what other people have been doing to him, then she's going to get the impression that he's taka, not a chosh of a person. She's going to get impression for two reasons, he says. Either the fact that people are treating her husband badly indicates that he's deserving of being treated badly, or he's such a wimp that he doesn't stand up for himself and he doesn't fight back. Either way, she's going to lose respect for her husband. So he says, therefore, he says, it's actually not in the husband's interest to come home and obviously there's other Lashon Hara about other people, which is also interesting. But when we're talking about things which the husband is describing, which have been done to him, which have happened to him in shul, yeah, and she might get the impression, if this happens often, that he's a person who is not deserving of respect because nobody in shul has got any derech eretz for him. Alternatively, she'll decide that he is a wimp because he doesn't stand up for himself and he doesn't fight back and he just receives all this bad treatment in shul from people. It doesn't have to be in shul, but from people who know him, that they don't treat him with respect and he doesn't fight back, and she thinks to herself, well, why doesn't he? He obviously doesn't have much of a character. Therefore, the Chofetz Chaim says that besides the Issa Lashon Hara and the Issa of Rechilus, in practical terms, it's not good for the marriage to be telling Lashon Hara, certainly about things that have happened to you, for the husband to tell the wife that, those sort of things. Therefore, Hashoymeh Nafshoy Yerichak Mizeh.
Started at Otterway, North West London, Thursday, Yud of Dalet Sivan, 20th of June, Rabbi Eli Pick, Shlita. Let them wait. This week's Torah was sponsored by Family Rafa for Simon Simons for Moti Reich, and to replace Lars Shabbat, who gave us a Shiska, a Robert Kenova, Rav Machas, and men in the Kodia Tay Kolosahem. It is Kus Hashugoyim Ba Chayolim Ba Milchamosh, Yachsul of Otahem, Shalom Ben Heiro.
Amen. Vishos Kol Hakol Hakadosh Hazeh. Thank you for the invitation. I once went to a wedding of a good friend, and they felt that they had to ask a certain uncle to give a speech, because they always did, it was their tradition, but he always spoke a bit of a long time, so they thought they'll ask him to speak at the end of the meal, and that way he won't talk for so long. It was 11 o'clock in the evening, and he stood up and he said, at the beginning of the meal, you make a short bracha, the Tilas Yodayim, Hamotzi. At the end of the meal, you make a long bracha, Berachas Hamazon. So I have to speak longer than all the other speakers, and he spoke for one whole hour. At the other extreme, I was once at a wedding in Zurich where there was a Rav who was asked to speak after we already had four or five droshes. So when he got up to speak, you could hear the people groaning. His name was Rav Zalman Kosofsky, and he said, "You've heard it all. I want to wish the Chosan and Kalim Mazel Tov. They should have a Binyan Adiyad and a Bayis Ne'emon B'Yisrael." And he sat down. I guarantee you that's the only speech which people remember. So, is there a way to strike a balance, to keep people waiting, not to keep people waiting? Is there a minimum shia? What are the parameters? And what are the circumstances? I once went to a shiva, and there was a mincha due at 1 o'clock in the winter, and they were not starting. All right, so what do? You just sit quietly and you wait. But there was one fellow who didn't want to wait. He went up to the ovel and said, no, come on, hurry up, what's going on here? We're supposed to daven. I thought to myself, is that the reason why he came to the shiva? You know, we come to comfort the mourner. So surely there has to be a bit of social intelligence when you're attending such things. All right, maybe he had to get back to the office, but we know there are shuls he can go to if he wants to start on time. Perhaps the most classic example of questioning when do we wait or when don't we wait is at the end of the Shmone Esra. Do we wait for the Rav to finish or don't we? The Shliach Tzibur is standing there. He can see lots of people are finished. There are people who are itching to go to work. And the Rav hasn't finished yet. Does he wait or doesn't he wait? Is it an issue of Kovod L'Rav or is it an issue of Kovod L'Tzibur? So the Ramot actually talks about this. And he brings down from the Shalos Shuvos Binyan Za'ev Siman Kuf Samaches. He says there in Kuf Kaf Dalet Gimel, we do not wait for the Rav. It's a Tichat Tzibura. V'im Yesh Shemarichim B'Tfilosom. If there are people who want to daven longer than everybody else, Ein Shliach Tzibur LaHamtin Aleim. Then the Chazan doesn't have to wait for them. Afilu Hayu Chashuvei Oir, even if they are the most important people in the town, Ein LaHamtin Al Adam Chashuv Al Godel. Or if it's a Godel, not just a Rav, maybe an Ov Beis Din or some Godel Hadar, we don't wait. Also, if they haven't arrived at the beginning of davening, Shadayin Lobo, we don't wait. One Gabba said to me, he said, if I have to wait for the Rav to come, then people will stop coming to the Minyan. There won't be a Minyan. So there's the question of, do we wait for the Rav at the end of the Shmoneh? So do we wait for the Rav when we start the davening? I notice in certain Hasidic shtibles, they wait for the Rebbe, but they wait 5 minutes. In contrast, at GGBH, known as Munks, once when Rav Feldman was the starter, when he was the assistant Rav, and he was walking with Rabbi Munk to the shul, Rabbi Munk said to him, and he was walking rather slowly, so Rabbi Munk said to him, you better go ahead, they're not going to wait for us. So what's the position? Is that the case? Do we follow the Ramah who says we don't wait for the Rav? We do. The whole custom nowadays is to wait for the Rav. So where does this come from? So the Magen Avraham says, V'achshav negu lahamtin al ho'av beis din, he uses the term. V'nirli hatam. And this is the reason. It's not simply a matter of giving cover to the Rav. Shirovo anoshim mispalalim b'mrutza. Most people are davening too quickly. V'im yechidim mispalalim mila b'mila. However, if you get conscientious individuals who daven word for word clearly, lo yuchal lomar kedusha. Those conscientious people won't be able to say kedusha with a tzibur. Lachein mamsinim, and therefore we wait. Nearly to af im ein av beis din. So even if there's no rov or av beis din present, yesh lahamtin, you still wait according to that speed to allow people to daven word for word, mila ba mila, aber kashemarech, but if they're much too long, ein lahamtin olof. I mean, we have to understand that many rabbonim might have a list of cholim, they want to be davening for sick people, and so they're going to take longer, and whatever it is. She says, we wait for the rov. Why? Not really because of kovod l'rov, but because people generally won't be able to catch up. They won't be able to join in the Kedusha. So if you wait for the Rav, then that will deter people from davening too quickly and being mabalbalin, which is a nice onomatopoeia, a mabalbalin. It's like my father used to say, when you daven, you should be like counting money. You know, 10, 20, 30, 40, that each word comes out clearly. But nowadays, you can't talk about counting money because the bank machines go, and it's much too quick. That's not the way one should be davening. The Mishnah Berurah brings down the Magen Avraham, and he says, "Nispash et haminag lahamtin al av beis din." We do wait for the Rav. And he says that there are people who will go away if there's a shir after davening, and people will feel that they haven't got time to wait, then they won't come to the shir, and there'll be bittul Torah. But so we wait for the Rav. So it's an interesting idea that it's not really covered l'Rav. It's really a tichud tzibura with other motives in mind. Rabbi Akiva Eger said one should always wait for the Rav. But striking a balance, the Stei Chemed, who argues whether it's Drabonon or Daraisa to delay the Tzibur, he quotes Rabbi Yisrael Al-Ghazi from Chalmei Tzibur that it's Min HaTorah, from V'Avtalecha Kamocha. All right, you've got mitzvahs such as Hachnos HaSorachim, Bekocholim, which are Drabonon, but they're based on the Daraisa, and according to Rabbi Al-Ghazi, to delay the Tzibur is Min HaTorah. And we need to know this, because then it can override a Din Drabonon. So he brings them Shut Michtov Lechizkio Simentes, that the Rav can make a signal in the middle of his Shemona Esra and interrupt his Shemona Esra to tell the Chazan, okay, get started, don't wait for me, carry on. And if people will still wait for the Rav, then the Rav can take three steps back. He can bluff the Kehillah by pretending that he has finished his Shemona Esra, even though it's an interruption and he's moving his feet, just in order so that the Shliach Shibur should start again. When you're talking about Tichud Tzibur, it's not simply of bothering the Tzibur. When you have a Tzibur of 10 men, that's the Shechinah being present. So you're keeping the Shechinah waiting. It's a covered Lashchinah. There are other examples where we ask, do we keep the Tzibur waiting or not? And maybe a classic example is...
Covered
La Torah. Okay, yeah. But covered La Torah and covered Lashchinah are being balanced against each other.
Yeah,
we're talking about striking a balance. Another example, rolling the Sefer Torah. Ein galel in Sefer Torah b'tzibur. So Shulchan Aruch says in Kuf Mem Dalet Sif Zayin, you don't keep people waiting. You have to roll the Sefer, bring out extra Sforim. So you've got Shabbos Shekolim or Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Chanukah, you know you're going to have three Sifrei Torah. So you don't roll from one Sefer to another, you try and bring out extra Sifrei Torah. What if they only got one Sefer Torah and you've got to read different ones? Then go in, then you have to roll. Yidcha kovod atzibur. Then we set aside the Tichud Tzibura, let them wait. We have to roll the Sefer Torah. What's the idea behind it? Says the Mishnah Berurah, mochelin al kavodon. People accept that they have to wait. It's a matter where they know that there's no way other way of doing it, so we have to roll the Sefer Torah, so we wait. Fine. What about on Simchas Torah? Simchas Torah, you're zaleining v'zos ha-brocha, then you go to Bereshis, then you go to Pinchos. If you've only got one Sefer Torah, boy, you're going to have to do a lot of waiting. What's the situation there? So the Torah says, well, actually, what you can do is, you can lay your v'zos ha-brocha, then you start rolling back towards Bereshis, but you stop off at Pinchos, even though Pinchos is usually your third Sefer Torah, you can stop off at Pinchos, call up your maftir, read about your one bull, and even do then the Haftarah as well, and during that you're rolling the Sefer Torah, plus the fact that when you call up the Chos and Bereshis, there's a very long call up Mirashus with lots of singing in it, and therefore within that time you can roll that one Sefer Torah to Bereshis, and you save a little bit of time. But the Sefer Shari Ephraim says, no, people expect things to be done traditionally, the right way, we don't do it that way, and therefore we will go all the way from Vazos HaBrocha to Bereshis, and then roll all the way from Bereshis to Pinchos, with that one Sefer Torah. Let them wait. It's a good encouragement to a Tzibur to get more than one Sefer Torah. So, in contrast, there's a Mishnah in Yuma which looks at things a bit differently. There, it talks about the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, and he has to read out three parshias. The Kohen Gadol reads the different parshias relating to the Yom Kippur, all like within one aliyah. So he's called up, and he makes the brocha, and he starts leaning from the Sefer Torah, from Parshas Acharei Mos. The classic central piece about Yom Kippur is the beginning of Acharei Mos, like we do nowadays. And then, what does the Kohen Gadol do? He then moves to Parshas Emor, where it talks about Ach Be'osar, Me'erev Arzerev Tish Besu Shabbatchem. There he learns about Yom Kippur as well. Well, to roll the Sefer Torah from Achrei Mos to Emor is only two sedras. So that's no big deal. We're not really keeping people waiting. But then he reads the third parsha from Pinchos, which is Uve'osar L'chodesh HaShvi'i, which we also read on Yom Kippur. And there, what does he do? He doesn't roll it. It's ten sedras. Not so much, but he doesn't roll it. He closes the Sefer Torah. He makes an announcement saying, the next parsha is written, is okay in this Sefer Torah, because he wants to avert any concern that people will say, oh, we suspect that Sefer Torah is possible, because you've closed it up before you've finished. But he closes it up, and he says Parshas Pinchos by heart. Well, it's one short paragraph, but he says it by heart. That is what it says there in the Mishnah. Samaches Omad Beis in Yuma. And the Gemara asks on this, how come? Well, it's the Tircha de Tzibura. You can ask, how can he lane by heart? After all, it's Torah Shebeksav. Don't we know a din that you don't read things by heart from the Torah? You have to say it from the text. Gemara Gittin Daf Samach Dvarim Shebeksav Iyato Rishai Lomran Balpeh. You don't say it Balpeh. Ah, we do have certain things which we are allowed to say by heart. We talk about Kriyas Shema in Siman Mentes, Bichas Kanim. So when you're quoting Pesukim, if you're standing and giving a drosha to Teraway and you want to quote Pesukim, but it's Torah Shebiksav and you can't say things by heart, so you've got to take a chumash and start fumbling the pages backwards and forwards. It's a Tircha de Tzibura. I'm going to be keeping you waiting. So we say, no, when you're quoting Pesukim, you can say them off your head by heart. That's not really infringing the rule. But when you're laning a parsha, how is it that the Kohen Gadol can on Yom Kippur not read Parshas Pinchos from the Sefer Torah simply because it's a tircha for everybody to let them wait and to roll the Sefer Torah? I mean, why can't he have three Sifrei Torah? So the Gemara asks us, you can't have three Sifrei Torah because it's all one aliyah. And if you have another Sefer Torah in addition to the first one, then people will think that the first one is possible. So you need to keep one Sefer Torah. Then you can roll it. So why can't you just roll it from Parshas Emor to Parshas Pinchos? Is it really going to take such a long time? So we say, no, we don't want to make the Tzibur wait on Yom Kippur. And therefore, the Kohen Gadol will say it by heart. Umeshum kavod hatzibur lavet yichu liglal. Says Rashi, shayu mitzapin v'domim in lekach. Because the people are kept waiting, they're twiddling their thumbs. They mustn't schmooze, you know, it's like being in shul. So it's not fair on the tzibur. The Gemara asks, well, maybe also if you bring another Sefer Torah, it's brocha shein al tzricho. But the main reason given is that we will have one Sefer Torah, people will think otherwise it's flawed, and he can lane the third Parsha by heart. So you can say, yeah, okay, well, when we have Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, we got three Sefer Torah, it's no bother. And there's no suspicion of any one Sefer Torah being flawed, because they're three different aliyahs. But we have a problem here. In the case of the Kohen Gadol, we're worried about Tircha de Tzibura, and therefore he is allowed to read the third Parsha by heart. So why don't we do that nowadays? Why don't we say, if you've only got one Sefer Torah, and you're rolling, say, from Parshas Achrei Mos to Pinchos on Yom Kippur morning, why don't we say, read it by heart, you don't have to roll the Sefer Torah, but we do roll that one Sefer Torah. Why don't we learn the lesson from the Kohen Gadol that he could read that Parsha by heart? So the Magen Avraham comes along and says in Kuf Mem Dalet Sifkot Zayin, he says, well, with the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen Gadol's laying on Yom Kippur, you've got a whole of Klal Yisrael there. You know, you're really keeping a lot of people waiting. Whereas in a shul might be relatively small, people are moichel, it's not so bad. Is that really the case? Even if you have a small number of people, aren't you still keeping them waiting? So the Avnei Nezer is not so happy with the answer given by the Magen Avraham, and he gives a different answer. And in Choshen Mishpat Kufnun Beis, he says, in the Beis HaMikdash, there is a difference. Why? Because the duty of the laning rests upon the Kohen Gadol. It's his chiv. Whereas nowadays, when we're laning in the shul, and we're laning the parshas from the Sefer Torah, it's not a duty as such on the person who's reading from the Sefer Torah. It's a duty on each and every one of us to hear that Kriyas HaTorah, So let's get real. If we have that stronger duty individually, then we have to be prepared to do that waiting, even if there's only one Sefer Torah and there is lots of rolling to do. So what if you take out the wrong Sefer Torah? You should be able to tell before you take out the Sefer Torah by feeling where it's rolled up to, whether it's on the right place. But it happens frequently. The wrong Sefer Torah is taken out. What do you do? Do you put it back or do you roll? This is discussed by Rav Moshe Feinstein, or Chaim Chelek Beis Lam and Zayin. And he brings various opinions. The Siddur Yavatz talks about it. And if the Kohl is prepared to wait, he says, then we roll. It's not covered to the Sefer Torah to put it back. And again, it looks like it's possible. Therefore, once we've taken out the Sefer Torah, we will roll it. Says the Sefer Tefillah Kilchosa, Ufagam HaSefer Choma Metucha Di Tzibura. We're worried that the suspicion of the Sefer Torah being possible is a greater worry than keeping people waiting. So it's striking that balance, but we have there the covered for the Sefer Torah overriding the Tircha de Tzibura, and we will roll the Sefer Torah, and it could be a very long roll.
Why can't we make the same announcement as the Kohen Gadol? There's nothing wrong with the Sefer Torah, and we're putting it back because we took out the wrong one.
Right, the reason why the Kohen Gadol makes his announcement is that there should not be suspicion that that the Sefer Torah is possible. But we are allowed to bring out three Sifrei Torah, let's say Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah, and Chanukah, because you've got three different aliyahs.
Correct.
Whereas with a Kohen Gadol, it's all one aliyah.
But here we're taking out one, it's the wrong place, it's on the wrong place, we're going to put it back.
Yes.
And take out another one in its place.
Ah, so you're saying...
why can't you make the announcement?
So if you make... because...
you're allowed to put back.
If you make the announcement, then although you're saying that this is not a possible Sefer Torah,
yeah,
it's still a genai. It's still considered shameful that once you've taken out the Sefer Torah, you're putting it back again. It's like you're discarding with it. You don't want it.
Yeah.
And therefore, it's still covered on Torah to keep it out, once it's out.
Yeah. Okay.
Interesting point. So, a very common question which comes up is calling up extra aliyahs. Okay, so you're making a bar mitzvah, you're making an afruf, and you want to call up all different uncles and cousins, and you want to have extra aliyahs. So the halacha is pretty firm about this, and the Meiri writes in the Gilah Chaf Aleph, you have a maximum when it comes to mincha on Shabbos, you may only call up three, no more. We will not have a maftir, we will not have after. It's tircha d'tzibura. Choshashu tefeila tircha d'tzibura. So what's the situation where Shabbos morning? Though in Orach Chaim, Simon Reish Pei Bes, the Bar Hitzav quotes the Maharsh of Prague, he says, no more than 10 aliyahs. So you normally have 7 aliyahs. You're allowed to have 2 or 3 more, and that's it. So Mishnah Berurah, though, is flexible. He says, Nochan no lahosef, it's correct not to add much, mipnei terechat sibur, sifkot and hay, but if it upsets people, that people are really, really upset about it, we can strike a balance, ain't sorry for the duck dek bazer. But we have to try to respect the principle as much as possible. According to Rav Yaakov Emden, he said that you should ban the Misha Beirachs. He said, all these Misha Beirachs after the aliyahs, they're not necessary. Especially when you start naming extra people. You don't just say, L'chai Oviv Ima, L'chai Ishla, L'chai Bonav Abito. No, the people they want to say, L'chai Rev Yerachmiel, Gersh, Fishel, Ben, Rab Shlomo, Dovid, Yonosan, Uziel, and they want to name this one and that one, all their friends. This is not fair on the Tzibur. You don't do that. On the other hand, when you have Misha Beirachs done in Shul, you get extra revenue coming in. You know, Babusha and Oda, Bli Neda, a person will give money to the shul. So the custom, says Rav Yaakov Emden, is to continue with Misha Beirachs, even though he calls for a ban. You know, Am Yisrael Kadoshim Hain, they do the right thing. We're B'nei Nevi'im, and we therefore carry on the tradition. Perhaps the most interesting example of Tircha Tzibura is when you get called up to the Sefer Torah, and you're about to make the bracha, Mishnah Berurah says, don't close the Sefer Torah. It's better not to. We don't want it to look like you're reading from the Sefer Torah when you're saying your brachas. Okay, so the Rosh says in Kuf Lama Tes Dalad, you turn your face to the side. And that way, you're not reading from the Sefer Torah. The bracha might be written out there anyway, so you'd be looking to the side. You don't close the Sefer Torah. And why don't you close the Sefer Torah? Now I ask you, how long does it take? How long does it take to close that Sefer Torah and to open it up again? I mean, we're talking about seconds. Minimal seconds. All right, you might say that when you close it and you open it up again, then the Baal Kara takes time to find the place. But if he's a good Baal Kara, he'll know where the place is, even though it's in the middle of a paragraph, or he'll remember the first word of the line, and he'll find it quickly. And even if he can't find it, how long will it take to find the right place? Nevertheless, the Mishnah Berurah says, "She'ein soich liglal." You don't roll it. V'dafka bracha rishona for the first one. No chashu mishum tichut ispura. She'istarchu lahamtin ad sheyachso v'yiftach. People should not have to wait in order to open up the Sefer Torah, and it takes seconds. And if somebody's called up and he hasn't got a talus and he picks up a talus, he should not be checking the tzitzis. Normally, before you put on your talus, you should make sure the tzitzis are not torn or missing or whatever. You don't have to check the tzitzis. Why? Tichud Tzibura says the Taz, Simen Yud Gimel, Mikamon Chazim de Choshe Af Lezman Muot. What is the criteria for Tichud Tzibura, even the minimal amount of time? If you ask me, what's the minimum shear? There is no minimum. We cannot fix a specific time. Of course, it depends on circumstances. There may be times when you do have to keep the Sibyl waiting. You do close it for the second bracha, because in any case, it's time, because you've got to call up the next aliyah, and therefore there's no tichud tzibura. The minhag is to cover the sefer. But yes, but it's the first bracha. It's the first bracha where, by closing it and opening it up again, it's a tichud tzibura. It's bothering people, and we're talking here about seconds. Perhaps the classic Gemara about the subject of tichud tzibura is a Gemara in Brachos. There in Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, Bikshu Likvoa Sefer Bolak B'Kriyas Shema. So Chazal, when they fixed the davening, they gave us three paragraphs to say when we say the Shema. But they really wanted to make four paragraphs. They wanted to insert Parshas Bolak. Parshas Bolak, where we talk about Bilam HaRosha, who wants to curse us, nevertheless, apart from Mar Tovu and all the wonderful things he said about us, he said, Kora Shochav Kari, V'chalavi Miyukimenu. So the Am Yisrael, they get up like a lion, or the lion is relaxed, it crouches, and the lioness which dares to rouse up. So the B'shoch B'chol V'kumecho. Rashi compares it to that term. HaKadosh Baruch Hu guards us when we go to bed, when we get up. So we want to compare it to the lion. So then the Gemara asks, why didn't Chazal fix this for Kriyas Shema? You could say it was just one pasuk, but you can't split up the pasukim, says the Gemara, and the actual parsha of Balak is 95 pasukim, and they decided it's not fair on the Tzibur. However, although we said Tichud Tzibura can really just be just seconds, you do get, at a kind of other extreme, a different kind of Tichud Tzibura where we do keep people waiting. And that is, if people give donations to the shul for their loved ones, who departed ones, for Kelmali Rachamim to be said for them at Yizkor, on Yom Tov, then you say the Kelmali Rachamim for them. Now, what if you've got a lot of people? You know, you read out just a list of names. When a tzibur is already 80, 90 years old, and it reads out a list of names, it takes quite a while to read out all these names. Is that regarded as tichud tzibura or not? So the Shalos Shuvos Natasorek, Rav Shraga Tzvi Tenenbaum, he was Nifter in 1897, he said there in Simon Ches, if people have paid for a Kelmali Rachamim at Yizkor, it's not for you to miss it out, and it's not for you to bundle lots of different names under one Kelmali Rachamim. You should say a separate Kelmali Rachamim for each one of them, even if it means people are kept waiting. Let them wait, because if not, you're stealing. You've been taking money for this service. Better off not taking the money for it. But if that's the case, and his view is endorsed by the pre-Soda in Simonites, Tzorich Nispalel Al Kol Neshoma Levado. There's a zechus for Neshoma for each one to daven for them separately. So there, you can see how the parameters change, because Tichud Tzibura is set aside. But there are other examples. If you want to call up the Kohen, you've opened up the Sefer Torah and the Kohen is ready to be called up, but he's not really ready to be called up because he's still davening. He's in the middle of his Shema. Do you call him up? Do you wait for him? He can't come up now. Halacha is we don't wait for him. Tichud Tzibura. What if the chazan likes to warble a lot? What if the chazan likes to schlep things a bit? So there's a balance there. Or Chaim Simon Nun Zion talks about this in Yud Aleph. If the chazan has a great joy in praising Hashem and he's got the right kavona, and the people obviously appreciate him, then it's okay. But if he's just showing off and he wants to show everyone what a wonderful voice he's got, then even on Shabbos, when people have more time, it's not allowed. It talks about Rabbi Akiva when he was davening b'yachidus in Gemara Brachos Lamed Aleph, that when he was davening on his own, he kept his Shemone Esra very long. But when he davened with a tzibur, he shortened it specially so that people should not wait for him. According to the Ben Ish Chai, where it talks about Rabbi Akiva davening with a tzibur, it means he was the chazan and he didn't want to keep people waiting. So interestingly, the Piskei Teshuvos gives actually a specification of the number of minutes maximum you should be spending on your Shemone Esra. There in Nun Gimel, Yud Gimel, he says best to have no more than 9 minutes on your weekday Shemone Esra and 6 minutes on your Shabbos Shemone Esra, although he does bring some other views as well. Recently on Shavuos we had a question. You stay up the night learning and let's say you want to learn till 3 o'clock in the morning and then you want to go to bed and daven later at 9 o'clock. So the halacha is that before you go to bed, you have to say Kriyas Shema. You can't go to sleep because the Zman Kriyas Shema has arrived already. Once it's Omer HaShachar, but l'chachila, you're meant to wait till Mishay Yakir. You're meant to wait until the time when you can recognize somebody in the darkness. Do you have to wait until Mishay Yakir before you go to bed? Or similarly, do you have to wait as a tibur to daven Shacharis from Omad HaShachar to Mishnei Yakir, or can you daven straight away? And we say, Mishum Tichot Yisburo, Yosef Yisrov Azmanim, says on Nel Shavuos, we do not make people wait, and we say Mishnei Yakir. Interestingly, the Shalosh Shavuos Ber Moshe writes in Chelek Gimel Reish Ayin Tes, he says, I cannot cease to be amazed at the delays that are created at weddings which keep people waiting. Mafle Peloas, he says, there are people who wait till all their guests have arrived after an hour or two, and then they phone the Rav saying, it's okay, you can come now. Osidin l'seines adin. They will have to be accountable for this in the future. And interestingly, he says, if you go to a wedding, and because you don't want to be kept waiting, you bring a sefer with you, it's not called showing off, it's not called yoharon. Rosh Lama Zalman Auerbach was very particular when he davened in the Groshul that he was quicker than the chazan in order that people should not wait for him. Not to be matriach others. I remember in Gates of Yeshiva, Rav Lev Lapion, who was the other Rosh Yeshiva besides Rav Lev Gurvitz, he would never ever walk through the Beis HaMedrash in order that nobody should stand up for him. He came in at one corner at the back and talked with people. He came in at the other corner, but he would never walk from one end to the other. So this example of Tichot Tzibura is teaching us a lesson, not just with davening, not just with Kriyas HaTorah, but also in the way we behave with others. If you don't put back the sefer on the shelf, you're going to be matriach somebody to start looking for it. If you park in a disabled space and there's no other disabled space, you're being matriach somebody else. If your car is blocking the street, if you're having a demonstration, you're matriach others. So therefore, it's something which is to take account of as part of one's mitzvahs bein odom lachavera. And if I just end off with an idea, that when we start davening in the morning, we wait till Mishay Yakir. So when Dalad Amos away, you recognize somebody, you see their face, that is the right time to start laying tefillin, to start davening, and to daven with Netzachama Lechachila. Mitzvah Min Amuvcha. Omad HaShachar, we try to avoid, even though it's b'dieved okay. What's this idea of Mishay Yakir? There is another meaning to Mishay Yakir. Not just that you can see somebody 4 amos away. Mishay Yakir is when you recognize the existence of other people around you. When you are conscious of your mitzvahs bein odom lachavero, then you are ready to daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Otherwise, you're not ready to daven. And when you enter the shul, the first thing you say is Ma Tovu Alecha Yaakov. Again, back to Bilam. Why do we quote Ma Tovu Alecha Yaakov? This is on a mitzvah bein odom lachavero. Because Bilam saw that we were not looking from one tent into another tent. We were not doing hezek re'iyah into people's windows. And therefore he gave us a bracha. What's that got to do with davening? Because when you are respecting the privacy of your friend and you're not looking into their windows or the doors of the tents, we're not looking into each other, people had that integral, basic starter of Bein Odom Lachavero, Ma Tov Elecha Yaakov Yishkenu Secha Yisrael, and then once you've acknowledged your need for your mitzvahs, Bein Odom Lachavero, then you are ready to daven Takarish Baruch Hu, to daven properly, Bein Odom Lamokim. Thank you very much.